I want us to read, it may not connect too closely with what was going before, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Now look at verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Now look further down, please, at verse number 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. And he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. Now verse 30, then are they glad, because they request. And he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. You were hearing in the announcement that it was fish that you have now caught. And I hope the few fish that I caught this morning might be fresh. I hope they will. And I hope they'll be with profit to us all. We've been spending about 2 days looking into almost every expression in 1 Timothy. And I want us to see some connections between this psalm and 1 and 2 Timothy. Now, maybe you don't see any links, but I'll try and point them out. First of all, I think you will agree that you have in the psalm the great story of the redeemed. Now, all of us who preach the gospel use each of these illustrations in a gospel meeting. You get a nice four illustrations for the gospel. You can look at a wanderer in the wilderness, and you can look at a man in prison, and then you can look at a man on a sick bed or a death bed, and you can look at a man on the high seas. Now, that's all very helpful, and I preach it constantly. I'm sure they're tired listening to me, someone around here, for I preached a lot in my own locality. Anyhow, I do think that there's more in it than that. I think that here is an experience that can be often known to the redeemed. And this is what we want to look at today. That sometimes the redeemed, the really redeemed, can get out of their way, can lose themselves. I hope I'm helping somebody here today. And sometimes the redeemed can get sick in soul. We see that from Timothy. They were sick there with questions and so on. And sometimes the redeemed can find themselves in bondage that he may deliver himself out of the snare of the devil. That's just 2 Timothy I'm quoting from. And sometimes the redeemed can get into stormy waters, because we were reading about shipwreck, weren't we? I think we did that in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. And then we can read about people getting drowned in 1 Timothy. So that we're not altogether far away from that. Then again, I think you will notice that in Timothy we were reminded by our brother Mr. Gilliland and also by our brother Mr. West, that there was a doxology broken out on at least 2 occasions in 1 Timothy. And I don't need to tell you there's a doxology in these verses, because it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. I can see quite a link in that connection. It's a marvelous thing to think that we're amongst the redeemed today. I think we should appreciate that. Now that brings me back to chapter two of 1 Timothy. For we have the ransom there. And anybody knows that instead of using the unscripture statement of ransom price, we should use the statement of that's mentioned there. It's a redemption price. We should use the statement of the ransom. For the ransom is the price of our redemption. And God in his mercy hath redeemed us. You know, it's a wonderful thing for a person to get saved. Especially if they're not just brought up in connection with assembly life. And especially if they've not been favored with very much Bible teaching. You know, just think of a man getting saved, and we've known it. And he started to look at the Bible. It was a new book to him. Wasn't like what I was, of course. When I got saved, I could have ruled you off two or three chapters, maybe five, four or five chapters, and hardly made a mistake. I could have quoted them without hardly any difficulty. And I had a fair idea of the broad teachings of the Bible. But you get a man saved, and he knows he's redeemed. And then maybe he would stagger about a while. Now don't you go too cross with me if I mention things, because these are bitter experiences. And he wonders, what's the way that God would want me? And he finds loneliness at times. Now you don't know what that is, some of you don't know what I mean by that. But it's an awful thing, you know, to be a child of God. I often went round the roads where I live. Now don't be thinking I'm boasting, and the tears running down my face. You say, what was wrong with you? Just as a lonely child. There wasn't anybody saved that I could talk to. There was nobody that I could mix with. You talk about your playfellows and your young fellows. I had nobody like that. And I used to take a walk because I thought it was good for me. And I'd walk around the roads, and times there's tears in my eyes because I had no Christian fellowship. There might be one or two in the meeting, and they're staggering about as the Lord's dear people. And what are they looking for? They're looking for the city. They're looking for a place where they could find fellowship and friendship. He says that they can't find a city. Now, yeah, I've listened to brethren. I'm not being critical. You know that. And they've told me they staggered about a good while. And they tried this place. And they tried that place. And it was a great moment for them when the Lord directed them to the city. The Lord directed them to sit down. I wonder, are there any believers in this large company today, and they just haven't got settled yet? You know what I mean by that? They haven't found a place where they can stay, where they can abide. They're taking a look at this, and they're taking a look at that. Now, would you please listen to the passage? Because that to me is most witty. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. I was in a home some years ago. Now, time was quickly with me. Some years ago, and there was a dear brother there who was not in the assembly fellowship, but was interested in his pathway. And he turned round to me, and he says, "Now, brother, would you tell me, what company should I mix with?" There's a young lad sitting listening to me. "You see, you know rightly where you should be. You should be in the assembly." Well, just as sharp as that. As much as I said, "Why, what are you sitting waiting an answer for that question?" I never said any such a remark. He said, "What did you tell him?" I says, "You just go where the Lord directs you." Now, I had reasons for that. Because I believe that when the Lord saves, he can take a child of his by the hand. And if they cry unto them and they're in confusion and in difficulty, he can lead them to the city. Did you notice that he redeemed them and he gathered them? Get that into the sound. Oh yes, he can direct. He can direct. I love that. After I got saved, maybe I don't go too close for you. You talk about, my wife always tells me, keep talking. Now, don't talk about yourself. But there's some wee little illustrations. One young man got saved. You all know him, but I can't mention his name. And he doesn't know anything about what I'm telling you. So it was not too far from me. But I didn't do anything, only just pray. And I asked the Lord to direct them. Now you might know Christians that you work with. I hope you're concerned before the Lord. Cry unto the Lord that they may be directed. And to me it's a great thing. When the Lord takes a child of his by the hand, and he directs them to God's assembly, where he ought to be. He gets to the city. He knows that's the fellowship and that's the communion. And that's the thing he wanted. And many a man has sat down and said to himself, just when he had discovered it, thank God, I've got the city at last. I've been staggering about, and I've been going here and there, and I haven't found the road, but at length I have found it, and it was the Lord who directs. Oh, I love that. I love that. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and they cried unto the Lord, and he led them forth by the right way. He leads by the right way. People say, oh, you know, I have the guidance of the Lord for this. Well, there's one thing sure of it, it's the Lord's guidance is the right way. It's not a wrong way. He's not putting you into the wrong tricks. You may stagger into bypass meadow, but you'll never find the Lord directing you there. It's not the Lord's way that puts you astray. Praise his name. We can thank him then and praise him for his goodness and so on. Then you find that Christians before, our Bible's quite clear on this, that some of them, because of sin and because of failure, they find themselves in captivity. Oh, you say, I don't believe that. Oh, do you not? Well, no, I can tell you much, if I read Galatians right, there was a grave possibility that they were going to get into bondage again. And Paul even is emphasizing to them, he says, why do you want to go back into captivity? You've been set free. Why would you ever want to be in captivity again? And sometimes Christians get into conditions where they're really more or less fettered. That's an awful passage that I referred to in 2 Timothy. I hope we'll take another look at it at times. Yes, taken captive by the devil at his will. Not as the devil would put saints into captivity. He'd lock them up in his wee cell, as it were. Now, things get very dark. Because if I go, there's no light in there. And there's no liberty. And there's certainly no joy. And there's no songs. It's not like the jail of Philippi. There's no songs there. Now, maybe you'll find if you travel long enough. Some of you are a wee bit younger than me. And if you travel long enough, you could meet with Christians and then your things are getting dark with them. So dark at times that some of them hardly know whether they're coming or going. Now don't be thinking me unkind and don't say I've got slack or loose or something that I'm beginning to doubt conversion and all that. I'm only talking about those extreme cases where sins have come into a man's life and he gets really down. And he's tightened up, as it were, and he can't get out. The only hope for him is he'll cry unto the Lord in his trouble, and the Lord will deliver him. Now, isn't that not the impression that you get when you read those words I'm trying to quote part of in 2 Timothy? He's taken captive by the devil at his will, and then it is, if the Lord peradventure will grant him repentance, that he might recover himself out of the snare of the devil, and it's to the will of God, I take it, that's the right idea at the end of the verse. That is, it will be God's will to see him liberated and set free from the bondage into which he has been brought. Now, these are witty mockers. Mind you, life is solemn, isn't it? I was at a conference in Lurgan at 19 and 29, and some of you are likely there long before that, I don't know. Not too many, perhaps. But I was here at 19 and 29, and I've gone through a fair wee bit of time, and I've seen a good many of those who once sat at the Lord's table. And you talk about tears, but you could have tears as you think. Some of them may never sit again. I don't like to think about that. Maybe the Lord's need it. We've been complaining a good wee bit in the north of Ireland here and mourning out our grief that we can see so few recovered who stray and wander away. I hope the Lord in mercy will grant repentance and grant restoration and revive his work amongst us for his own glory. I know that we don't like to think about it, but we're prone to wander. At times we feel it. Going to leave the God we love. I hope we'll be conscious of his restoring grace. The Lord provides. Now he says that's a cause for praise. The Lord delivers. Breaks the bonds and snatches it. It's great to see. Indeed we rejoice now and then. We do get some joy in life. We don't always in the morning. they get some joy just to see those who have wandered away and haven't done well now, haven't done well. And yet to see them recovered, and maybe in the closing part of their life, to be a monument of God's grace and restoring grace as well as saving grace. I hope we believe in that. That God can bring back the wayward sheep and the cry of a really repentant believer goes into the ear of God and he can deliver in the riches of his grace. Then there are some saints and they get sick and they can't eat. You know, you always notice them that no ministry pleases them. Oh, not at all. They couldn't take a bite of that. They wouldn't have it for the world. They've got a sour stomach. And everything's turned on. Oh, no. Things I used to... Oh, I like that. Well, I remember enjoyed that. But I don't care for it now. You see, that's the sick man. And Paul speaks about those in 1 Timothy, doesn't he? And he says, yes, they're sick. Sick joking about questions. There's the word joking in your Bible, but it's the ordinary word for sick. They've got a disease. And that disease is very, very sad. And they're joking about questions and so on. And he says, now, there could be believers that are sick. That are sick. You know, we've been hearing about tears being removed in heaven. It'd be great. But isn't it great, too, that there'll be no more sickness there? And some of us who feel the weaknesses of our bodies, it'll be great that we'll be in a spiritual body. I was trying to tell them in the funeral here lately. You ever try to think of what it would like to be in a spiritual body? Well, I try to think about it. Not only just in a body, but in a spiritual body. And in a heavenly body. And in a body that will never know pain or ache. And where the memory will never fade. My dear brethren, old dear preachers would love that. Wouldn't they just love to have a memory that never fails? Look at these men with their bright memories. They'll likely get to my day someday. And they're not nearly so clear. But the memory never failing. Never failing. That'll be great, won't it? Now, if there are sick people, and they can, the dainty food, they can't take them. You all know right well, it's very hard. In fact, it's amazing to me, of course, when I go to hospitals to visit people, I don't like the food in here. You hear that constant. You know, if they're out ploughing a while in the field or out working with a spade, it could taste entirely different. Now, you don't know that, but when you're not well, some of the food that you used to enjoy, you just can't have it the same. Now, when a Christian gets away from the Lord, they don't enjoy the ministry of the Word of God. You may put them up a tasty bite, and some of these devotional men give nothing but tasty bites, but you may put them up something plain that they were used to in their earlier day, and no matter which way you do it, you can't get anything that they'll swallow. They just can't get it. They've lost their appetite, and they have despaired of everything. What are they to do? Oh, cry unto the Lord in their trouble. I wonder whether there be any Christians. Surely in a company like this there'll be one or two. And your appetite's not as keen as it used to be. And the things that once you enjoyed, you don't seem to have a thrill with them any longer. And there's hardly an amen when somebody, an amen when somebody sits down or anything like that. You just don't feel the thrill of it. Why? Because you haven't the appetite. Not the appetite. That should be there. You see, that's where you need to cry unto the Lord. And isn't it great when it's back again? And when you're enjoying the thoughts of the Lord's coming and the thoughts of the Scriptures. You know, there's not, I'm like a little, and don't be laughing at me, but I'm like a little child. When I get fresh thoughts from the Bible, I'm just like a child with a new toy. You know, I've got someone by that I enjoy. I enjoy it, even, not for preaching's sake, but for my own sake. I enjoy the Holy Scriptures so that we don't want to be sick and can't eat and can't take and can't bear. We want to be those who have a keen appetite and can rejoice in God, our wonderful deliverer. Then again, we'll come to the seaman. As we were pointed out, as was pointed out to us very clearly in Timothy. Now, watch, there's a connection here now. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, tell me what takes them into the waters? Ask the wee boat out for a sea, and not a bit of it. No, boys are not out for a bit of pleasure trip. What do you think they're after? Now listen carefully. That links with Timothy. They're in pursuit of riches. They're looking pleasures. They're going to other lands to get what they can get at home. And they're going as far as they can. and then they hang themselves and so on. Because God always, now, will you listen carefully, whether it be a sinner or a child of his, he ever brings them into a condition where they'll feel their need. We needn't try to preach the glorious message of deliverance to a soul until he discovers he needs it. For that's the man that would take it in. Now, when they get into the stormy seas and the waves are dashing about, they can become shipwrecked. You know what? We had read that in chapter 1, haven't we, in 1 Timothy. Yes, a shipwrecked man, you know, may be rescued. Now, I hope, maybe my brother weren't too happy about that. But I think that maybe get a shipwrecked man rescued. Whereas a drowned man in chapter 6, you couldn't get him rescued. He's beyond rescue. Some were shipwrecked, but these people were almost shipwrecked, and they staggered ever. Staggered ever. What have they been after? They've been after treasures. And what did they get? They got nothing but a stormy sea. Many a dear child of God, now we don't want to be unkind, but many a dear blood-bought soul has set his heart on making money. Now God pity him. God pity him. Many of them have had a sore heart. Many a man is laying down in his bed. You know the old language. Watch it, dear God. Never you use the language of it, for it's terrible. If I had my life to live over again. Like as if you were ever going to get another go at it. If I would do it more than ever. Then the time in your deathbed, and you know if I had my life to live over again, I'd live for a different world. And many a man has made a fortune. And made a big thing happen, but he lost peace. Joy in his soul, and he was staggering about, and he was losing his head, and he was simply uncomfortable. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them, he listened to me, to their desired haven. Now I'm not going to push it too far, but mind you, we've been brought already to our desired haven in the ministry today, haven't we? We've been raising up, as it were, to those days when tears will be dried away, and when all our little struggles here on earth will be over, rocks and storms we fear no more. When on that eternal shore drop the anchor, furl the sail, safe at home within the veil. Ah, yes, and I tell you, what we've begun on earth, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You notice that in Timothy, there's a couple of occasions, two occasions when there are doxologies. One when Paul looks at the mercy of God. Now you listen to it. When Paul looks at the mercy of God in saving him and in providing salvation and sending Christ and delivering him by his tender mercies, oh, he feels he'd have to give the King of glory, honor, and praise as he thinks of his own deliverance and others being saved by the grace of God. And the other, when he thinks of the grand program of God being complete at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, oh, just after sing his praises. Yes, dear saints of God, isn't it great this afternoon that we're amongst those who are redeemed? We might stagger a bit at times, God preserve us. We might make mistakes. We might even lose our sympathy for those who have made mistakes. I hope we don't. I hope because God has preserved some of us and kept us fairly steady along the road, that we have no pity for those who have wandered and made mistakes and staggered about and lost their way. We hope that we'll always have a sympathetic heart and we'll cry to the Lord and that he will grant, oh, in his wonderful grace. Do we really believe it today? The great God that saves sinners. Do we really believe it? That the same living God can restore sins, even though they have staggered and wandered away. And when he lands the whole company in glory, his ear will be listening throughout all eternity. Oh, the wonders of his love. Oh, the greatness of his grace. And we'll never forget his guiding hand. And we'll never forget to praise him, not only for saving us, but for keeping grace and for restoring grace as times was needed by his wonderful kindness and goodness.